Pour yourself a cold one.
They strike them, huh?
And listen to Russ Tucker and Philadelphia Eagles film junkie Fran Duffy break down the top college prospects on another tasty edition of The College Draft.
Yeah, it's daddy soda time. Ross Tucker, Fran Duffy, back with you guys after a week hiatus while I was in Disney World. These are some of my favorite college draft podcasts every year when we actually dive a little deeper into every team in the NFL, yes, including your team. You don't see a lot of people that really dive deep into every team's draft after the fact. But that's exactly what we're going to do. I mentioned Fran Duffy. He's the star of the show. Check him out on Twitter, at FDuffy3. He should be a GM someday, or at least a VP of player personnel. Total stud video scouting guru for the Eagles. I'm just a former NFL offensive lineman that played for a bunch of teams, and now got a bunch of podcasts, like the Ross Tucker Football Podcast, Even Money, Fantasy Feast, and of course, the College Draft Podcast. All right, here's the deal, Fran. Every week for the next 4 weeks, we're going to do two divisions at a time, and we're going to discuss for each team. So today is the AFC East and the NFC East. We're going to discuss the top pick, which is your favorite pick from either the first or second round. So the pick you like the most that they made at, you know, in the first couple rounds, then your sleeper selection, the guy in round 3 through 7 that you think really has a good shot at being an impact player, then we'll see. You just kind of want to wait and see how it works out. You're a little curious as to how it'll work out. And then undrafted gem. Nobody else is doing this because not many other people. I mean, Dane Brugler is pretty much a sicko. But there's not a lot of sickos like you out there that goes through and has an undrafted gem for every single team in the NFL. So let's get started.
Yeah, let's start it, Ross. And we'll start first, I guess, with the Buffalo Bills in the AFC East. We'll go AFC, then NFC. And when I look at the Bills, really the top pick for me was easy because they drafted my number one corner in this draft, the guy that I thought had the best ability to translate to the NFL early, and that was Tre'Davious White. They were able to trade down in the first round and get White with a 27th pick overall. White can play any coverage you need. He could play press. He could play off. He's instinctive. He's got great ball skills, and he's tough. He could play inside and outside. I'm a big fan of Tre'Davious White. I think the Bills got a longtime starter and a future Pro Bowl selection in that secondary for Sean McDermott. I love the selection of Tre'Davious White. Next, we'll go to the sleeper. And for me, this was a really easy one, too, because, Ross, you know that there weren't many people that were as high on Nate Peterman as me during the pre-draft process. And I said a couple weeks ago in our post-draft wrap-up how surprised I was. And even talking with people around the league, that was a topic that came up a couple of different times with a couple of conversations that I've had with teams around the NFL, was how surprising it was to see Peterman fall as far as he did. So I was very surprised, and I know others were also very surprised to see him fall. But I think he fell to a pretty good situation, a really interesting situation, to an offense where you've got David Culley and Juan Castillo, guys that have been around the game for a long time at the NFL level, guys that have worked with pro-style quarterbacks. And I'll be very interested to see if Peterman is able to work himself into a starter, maybe not as a rookie, but down the line. I think Nate Peterman, and I've always said this, has starting traits, maybe not high-end Pro Bowl quarterback traits, but I think he could turn into a starting quarterback. So I'm very, very intrigued to watch Nate Peterman down the line for the Buffalo Bills. My Will C pick, and this was tough because I thought the Bills had a pretty good draft, and what I'm going to try and do with Will C is just find a pick where, you know, maybe it's not that I hate the player, but I'm just very intrigued to see how it's going to work out. And I do have some intrigue there with Zay Jones in the second round with the 37th overall pick. Their receivers coach there in Buffalo was Zay Jones' receivers coach at East Carolina. So there is some familiarity there with Jones and the coach. I am very interested to see how it works out. He's going to be playing opposite Sammy Watkins, who we obviously know is extremely talented, has had some issues staying on the field. So if Watkins is there and he's playing and he's durable and he plays a full 16 games, I think Jones is going to be in a really good spot because now you've got a guy who can dictate coverage on the other side, who teams are always going to have to worry about. But if Watkins goes down, Jones is probably going to be the primary target in that passing game, and that's going to be a really interesting situation for a guy who was obviously used to being that player for East Carolina, for the Pirates during his career, but there is a question over whether or not he can be that guy in the NFL. So I am very interested to see how it works out for Zay Jones. My undrafted gem for them is Georgia offensive lineman Greg Pike. He was a guard who got signed for them after the draft. I first watched Pike, it was about a year ago. I want to say it was like last June, early July. I thought that he was kind of a late day three pick, and he ended up going undrafted. He's not the sexiest offensive lineman. He's not this great athlete. He's not a mauler, but he's one of those players. And Ross, I know you can relate to this when you watch offensive linemen. You like the player, but you just worry about his overall upside. And that was my thing with Greg Pike. I did have a draftable grade on him, even though it was late. So I do think that of the players that they got in the undrafted ranks, I thought Pike was the guy that stood out to me the most.
Nice. I love it. And I'm a guy that if the guy gets his job done, if he blocks his guy every time, that's usually a pretty good sign. What about the Miami Dolphins? We'll start with the top pick in your mind.
Yeah, when I look at the Dolphins, really the player that stood out to me was Charles Harris at the 22nd pick. I had Harris as a top 20, top 25 player for my personal board, and I thought Harris is a guy that translates really well to the NFL. I had both he and Derek Barnett, who went to the Philadelphia Eagles. We'll talk about him later at the 14th selection. I had them very close, and really when I look at Charles Harris, I see a player that uses his hands really well. He's got an outstanding first step. He's a high motor kid. I'm very, very intrigued to see how he does very early off the edge there for Miami. My sleeper pick for them as a player that I was really surprised that he fell to the fifth round, and that's Utah guard Isaac Asiata, who is just a stone cold killer up front on the offensive line, really just tries to bury defenders. I love his physical mentality. He's a great puller. He's got the ability to move people in the run game. He doesn't have outstanding feet in terms of his pass protection, but as far as just a guy that can just move people up front, that can do some damage in the run game, I like Isaac Asiata and what he can be. I think he's got starting potential down the line in the fifth round. Really good value there for the Miami Dolphins. My Will C pick goes back to the second round, and that's linebacker Raekwon McMillan from Ohio State. And here's the reason why. McMillan, I know, tested really well, but I didn't see that kind of athlete on tape. And really the big thing with me is, can he be a three-down linebacker? Is he an ideal three-down linebacker? Can he flourish on passing downs? Will he be able to hold up in coverage? I know that there's a lot of people talk about this clip of him running step for step with Saquon Barkley on a wheel route in the Penn State game and breaking up a pass. That pass was criminally underthrown, and Barkley had McMillan beat by three or four steps. Now, Barkley's going to be a top 15 pick next year if he does come out. McMillan, to me, is a guy that is more of a two-down player, so I'm very intrigued to see how he will do. I don't know if I'd like to draft a two-down player in the second round. So we'll see how McMillan turns out. And then my undrafted gem, this was easy for me, Ross, because how long have I been touting Michigan running back Davion Smith, a guy that has got the physical mentality, I think, to flourish in the NFL. I love his instincts. I love his vision. He's a great blocker. He's a serviceable receiver out of the backfield. He's not a top-shelf athlete. And to me, that's why he fell in this class. I think if he was just a little bit better athletically, he would have gotten drafted. And if this was not as deep a class, he would have gotten drafted. But Davion Smith, to me, I think could turn into a nice backup player, if not a primary starter in the role of a LeGarrette Blount for what he's done so throughout his career in New England and with Pittsburgh. I think Davion Smith has a similar type track. I think that he is a really intriguing option for them as an undrafted player.
I cannot wait to see how some of your faves like Nate Peterman and Davion Smith and the guys that you've been talking about for months end up panning out. What about the Patriots? Who did you feel like was their top pick?
Well, this one was a tough one because they only had a few picks. They only had four picks, and they didn't pick till the third round. So I have to break one of my rules already. But my favorite pick actually was their second pick in the third round, 85th overall, And that was Troy offensive tackle Antonio Garcia, a guy that I thought showed flashes of being a Tyron Smith, showed flashes of being a guy like a Teron Armstead, who was a second-round pick to the New Orleans Saints a couple years ago. I was surprised that Garcia fell to the third round because of what he showed on tape throughout his career. I know his Senior Bowl week was up and down, but an outstanding athlete. He's got great feet. I know the people were worried about his size. He was just around 300 pounds, which you'd like to see him get a little bit bigger, but Garcia's got really light feet, and he moves as well as any offensive lineman I've watched, really, in this class. So Garcia was a guy that I thought was the player that stood out the most to me, and honestly, of their four picks, I said that he was the sleeper, too, because I wasn't a huge fan of their other three players that they selected, and one of those was my Will C pick. Their first overall selection in the third round, 83rd overall, Derek Rivers from Youngstown State. There were some people that were really high on Derek Rivers and thought that he was a top 50 talent, a top 70 talent. I didn't see that necessarily when I watched Rivers on film. I didn't see a guy that had much urgency as a pass rusher. I didn't see a guy that was really polished in terms of his overall pass rush plan. I know he was very productive, but I thought that he feasted against some offensive linemen that were not going to sniff the NFL, honestly, at that level. And when I watched Rivers, I didn't always see the traits that translate well to being an outstanding NFL pass rusher. Maybe I'll be wrong. Obviously, Bill Belichick knows a lot more than I do, but that was the one for me that left me scratching my head. But I'll tell you what, man, they brought in a guy, an undrafted free agency, that I think is just perfect for what they do, and it will not shock me at all if this guy sticks and ends up being a player for them. And that's Austin Carr, the slot receiver from Northwestern, who, to me, when I watched him, I said, you know what, this guy is Cole Beasley, this guy is, you know, Danny Amendola, you know, insert your slot receiver here, this is Austin Carr, and I think that he's going to fit in perfectly there in New England if he's able to earn a spot. I liked Austin Carr on par. I had him pretty close with guys like Ryan Switzer and Trent Taylor, both of whom were drafted in the middle round, so I love the value there of Austin Carr to the New England Patriots.
I'm with you on Antonio Garcia. I watched his Clemson game. I was very impressed. I think if anybody can get the most out of him, it'll be Dante Scarnecchia. I think they let him sit for a year maybe behind Solder, but try to groom him to be the next left tackle there in New England. What about the Jets?
Yeah, the Jets were an interesting one because, you know, they've gotten killed for their draft. But, you know, look, they added a player in Jamal Adams who is going to be a day one starter, going to be an impact player in Todd Bowles' secondary, and that's that defense, that scheme with Todd Bowles, asks a lot of their defensive backs. They're asked to do a lot of different things, whether it's play one high, two high, play man in the slot, blitz, come down and defend the run. Jamal Adams can do all those things, so I think that that's a really nice selection there that fits really well in that defense. Now, when you go into their sleepers, I actually really like the kid Jordan Leggett from Clemson that they picked in the fifth round. He's not a great player. He's not overly flashy, but Leggett can do everything that you ask him to do. He can block. He can stay back in pass protection. He can get down the seam. He can make plays after the catch. He's reliable at the catch point. I thought he had some of the best ball skills of any tight end in this class. So I really like the selection of Jordan Leggett. And the Jets have been looking for that three-down tight end for years, and they really just have not been able to peg one. I think Leggett can be that guy in time. My Will C pick would be their third-round selection, Ardarius Stewart, another player that some people were very high on. And Stewart does have some ability. I just had some questions about his ball skills down the field, his ability to be a deep threat. I thought he was more of a quick game, yards after catch gadget guy. And I didn't think that in the third round, in the 79th pick, that he was that kind of a player that you would select that high. He's got some good size to him in terms of his overall bulk, and he can make plays after the catch. I just wonder if he's not straight. He's not a great route runner right now, and I don't know that he's got the lateral quickness to develop into an outstanding route runner. That was my big question with Ardarius Stewart. So we'll see how that one works out. And then undrafted gem, I like the kid Connor Harris from Lindenwood, man. I mean, he comes from the smaller school ranks. I remember watching him leading up to the Senior Bowl. This kid was extremely, extremely productive during his career. A player that had, from Lindenwood again, had 633 tackles in his career, was a three-time captain. I was really, really impressed overall with his physicality. He's a high motor kid. Again, extremely productive college player. with the mental traits needed to be an NFL player. And the question for me with him was, could he hold up physically from a size standpoint, and is he athletic enough to develop into a starter? My guess is no, but I do think that he sticks as a quality backup and as quality special teamer. I thought Connor Harris from Lindenwood was a really intriguing option there in the undrafted ranks for the Jets.
Let's get to the NFC East, and we'll start with the Dallas Cowboys.
Yeah, the Cowboys were an interesting team because, you know, they had a ton of picks in this draft, but they also drafted a lot of really good players. You know, you look at their second round pick, the 60th overall selection, they selected Chidobe Awuzie. And Awuzie was a player that a lot of people were fans of because he was viewed as a very safe prospect. Really good run defender, physical tackler, instinctive, can play any number of positions in the secondary, and he did it at Colorado. I mean, he lined up outside at corner. He lined up in the slot a lot of the time. He lined up at safety at certain points in his career. I mean, there were times in sub-package we lined up close to the box as a linebacker. I mean, he was used in so many different roles. He also had enough athletic ability, and remember, he also tested very well at the combine, but he showed that athletic ability on film to be a man cover corner in the NFL. The big question that I had with Awuzie, and this is why I think he fell to the second round, it wasn't a low-end first-round pick, was his ability to find the ball in the air at times. I thought there were times where he struggled to find the ball downfield, but overall, I thought Awuzie was good value there, the 60th overall pick for the Cowboys. My sleeper for them was the Louisiana Tech safety, Xavier Woods, who they got in the sixth round, the 191st overall selection. I thought Xavier Woods in this class, which is a very strong safety class, was a top five or six safety. And I think we saw 11 or 12 safeties go off the board before the end of round three. I mean, we had an exorbitant amount of safeties go off the board very early in this draft. I was surprised that Woods wasn't one of them. He's got the ability to hold up in man coverage. He did that at the college level. He's one of the best tacklers in the safety class, a really reliable player against the run, even though he's not the biggest kid. It wouldn't shock me at all if Woods, even early, became the starter opposite Byron Jones in that defense under Rod Marinelli. I thought Xavier Woods was an excellent talent for Louisiana Tech and one of the best players at the East-West Shrine Game earlier this offseason. My Will C pick was Taco Charlton from Michigan. You know, he was the 28th overall selection. They stayed put. They got Taco Charlton. And to me, when I saw, and there were some people disagree, our buddy Greg Cosell, he liked Taco Charlton. I know he's made some comparisons in the past to some of the better pass rushers in the NFL. But to me, when I look at Charlton, I don't see a guy who's got an outstanding pass rush plan yet. I don't see a guy who's wows you with his athletic ability. There were some that will make the comparison with Chandler Jones coming out. I thought Chandler Jones was a little bit more dynamic as a pass rusher, a little bit more dynamic athletically for a big guy. I don't know that Taco Charlton's got that. But I do think that he can be a solid base and a starting left end in that Rod Marinelli scheme. I think that he can fit that role well. I just don't know that he's going to be, you know, this dynamic double-digit sack guy year in and year out. And if that's what you're looking for, if you're looking for a solid player, I think that they've got that in Taco Charlton. I just don't think that the upside there is tremendous. And then my undrafted gem, and this is an interesting one because I saw that the Temple running back Jahad Thomas ended up there, and I know you're, oh, okay, the Temple guy. When they lost Lance Dunbar this offseason, a guy who was an excellent change of pace back for them, was moved all around the formation, was used on vertical routes in the quick game, Jahad Thomas can do all that, and he did all that this year as a senior with Temple, and I think he can fit that role. Remember, Lance Dunbar was undrafted as well. I think Jahad Thomas, if put in that role, he's got the quickness, he's got the route running ability, he's got the hands, and he's also a decent runner as well with the football. He can make people miss. I think Jahad Thomas fits really well in that change of pace role, and it wouldn't surprise me at all if Jason Garrett sees a little bit of Lance Dunbar there with Jahad Thomas.
Love it. Love getting a Temple mention. And let's go to the G-men. What did you think of their top pick?
Well, I love the selection of Evan Engram, who they took in the first round. Now, I didn't expect him to go off the board at 23, and I didn't expect him to go off the board to the New York Giants, because when you look at the Giants, it's an 11-personnel team. You look at the way that they play offense, you know, modeled after the way Green Bay plays. The tight end hasn't always been a huge part of their passing game, but I think they're looking to add that dimension to that offense. I think Evan Engram will be really interesting because they play more three receivers than anybody, which means that that tight end is going to be on the field with those three receivers and a lot of those spread out passing concepts. And Engram, they don't run the ball, so you're not going to be asking Engram to always be playing at the point of attack. he could be very, very interesting, almost like an upscale Richard Rodgers and what he has been for the Green Bay Packers over the last few years. Now, Richard Rodgers was a third-round pick. Evan Engram is more talented than Rodgers was coming out of Cal, so that's what I mean, an upscale, kind of a rich man's Richard Rodgers. I think Evan Engram could really play that role well, and I'm very intrigued to see how he's used, but he's a very talented player and a guy that's a really good route runner at the tight end spot. I'm very intrigued to see how that pans out for the New York Giants. My sleeper selection for them came in the fourth round, and that was running back Wayne Gallman, a guy who to me, I thought there was a chance that he could be a primary back in a pass-first offense, and he will have that opportunity here in New York. But when you look at his skill set, I mean, he's physical. He's got the ability to impact the game on third down because he's a decent receiver, but he's a pretty good blocker, and he's improved in that area each and every year. And I do love his ability to be a hammer in the run game. So Wayne Gallman, I think, was a really interesting player. They selected Davis Webb, the quarterback, in the third round, and that's going to be my Will C pick because, you know, look, he ended up in a pretty good situation in terms of he could sit behind Eli Manning. There's no urgency for him to play right away. We'll see how he develops because a lot of people loved his character and his work ethic, and will he? He's only been in an air raid offense throughout his career, whether it was at Cal or at Texas Tech. We'll see how this one turns out, and maybe he becomes the quarterback of the future for them, or maybe he doesn't, and that's why that's going to be very interesting to see how that pick pans out. And then my undrafted gem was wide receiver Travis Rudolph, a player that I gave a draftable grade to out of Florida State. He's got decent size, but more importantly, I liked his abilities after the catch. I thought he showed flashes as a route runner. He's got the ability to go up and attack the football. He did have some drops, and that was a little bit of a concern. I did want to see him get a little bit better as a route runner this year compared to last year. That was a little bit of a concern, but overall, I thought Rudolph was a really intriguing option on day three, and they were able to get him undrafted.
Yeah, I was surprised by that. He had the cameras at his house and everything. All right, let's get to the Washington Redskins. I felt like they had a really solid draft. I'm curious to see what you think. We'll start with what you thought was their top pick.
Yeah, I would agree with you, Ross. I thought that they had a really good draft. You know, you start with Jonathan Allen, the 17th overall pick, a player that a lot of people thought that he was going to go top five, top 10. It seems that he fell because of his shoulders, which some people are worried about the long-term effects there of his shoulders, but then also in terms of his position versatility, where is he going to play, how is he going to impact base downs, things like that. I think Jonathan Allen ended up in a great spot. You know, he goes to a 3-4 team, so he gets to play defensive end for them, and he's going to start as a rookie, as the left defensive end. They lost Chris Baker in free agency. Jonathan Allen will be able to plug right in there and be a starter for them on that defensive front. In sub package, he can play inside, he can play outside. He's got the ability to win with power. He uses his hands well. Jonathan Allen is a very, very good player. So they got a heck of a talent there with the 17th overall pick. I love that selection for Washington in the first round. As far as a sleeper pick, maybe my favorite pick of the fourth round in terms of the running back position was Samaje Perine from Oklahoma. Ross, you know, for all the fantasy football guys out there, and there are people that are in my leagues that listen to this podcast, so I don't want to really tip my hand, but I'm taking Samaje Perine high in fantasy leagues this year because he's going to win that job, man. I mean, he's got Rob Kelly. They drafted Matt Jones a couple years ago, but he seems to have fallen out of favor. He lost his job to Rob Kelly, an undrafted free agent a year ago. Perine fits that run scheme to a T. He is physical. He is instinctive. He can play on third down because he can block at the point of attack. Perine is a really, really scary option in that run game because of the way that they play. They have a really good offensive line that is continuing to gel. Perine to the Redskins is a really scary proposition. I think that he's a guy that fits really well in their identity and what they do want to do offensively. My Will C pick was a guy in Fabian Moreau from UCLA, the third-round pick, 81st overall. He tore his pec during his pro day doing a bench press. But honestly, when I watched Moreau, there were a lot of people that really, really liked him. I had some questions about him, and I know the physical traits are there. He's a big kid. He's a good tackler. He runs really, really well. He was one of the better testers at the combine overall at the cornerback position. But when I look at Fabian Moreau, I had some similar questions in terms of his ability to find the ball downfield. Some of the things I talked about with Awuzie, I had some questions there in terms of his overall ball skills. I didn't think he always played to that 4-3 speed as well. I just saw a guy that, to me, was more of an athlete than a football player. And that's why it's going to be really interesting to see how Moreau works out coming off that injury. And then the undrafted gem is a guy that you and I have talked about a number of different times. I was shocked he wasn't at the combine, and I was shocked that he wasn't drafted, because I think this kid has plug-and-play ability, and that's Kyle Kalis from Michigan. It was a guard. Adds to that offensive line, has the ability where maybe if he doesn't start right away, he can learn from some of those guys. And I would say that if he can learn under Brandon Scherff, he's got the ability to replace a Sean LaVau in a year or two at left guard. Kyle Kalis is a guy that I was surprised was not drafted. I think it's a great fit for what they do offensively, and he's got the ability to play at guard sooner rather than later.
I know you've been waiting for this one, Fran, and I can't even imagine how much tape you've watched on all of these guys. How about the Philadelphia Eagles? What did you think was their top pick? Was Barnett or Jones?
Well, to me, I really like the selection of Barnett. You know, you look at the 14th overall pick and Derek Barnett. First of all, you look at how he fits the scheme with Jim Schwartz and his get off, his ability to win at the top of the rush, because he doesn't have great bend in terms of his freakish ability at his hips and his knees. But when you look at his ankles, Ross, it's almost kind of freakish the way that he's got the ability to turn on a 45 degree angle and bend at his ankles as he's making the turn. It's really, really fun to watch sometimes when you see him turn the corner. He does need to improve in a couple of different areas, but he's extremely well-rounded. He's a great kid. He defends the run. He's got a high motor. I posted some shots on my Twitter, I think a week or two ago, of some of the high motor plays this kid made, not just outside the numbers, but like 30, 40, 50 yards downfield, chasing running backs down, chasing receivers down. Derek Barnett's a really fun player. I think he's going to fit in the city of Philadelphia really, really well. When I look at the sleeper selection, I like the pick of Mac Hollins in the fourth round, a guy that, to me, he would have gone higher had he not been hurt this year. He ran a 4.5 flat at the combine in February, but remember, he only ran the 40 once because he pulled up at the end of it. So really, the 4.5 flat was actually more of a low 4.4s that he would have run had he not been injured on that 40-yard dash run, a guy that averaged over 20 yards a catch throughout his career. He's a big kid with speed who's an outstanding special teamer. So right out of the box, he's a good fourth receiver, and I think he's got upside to be a starter on the outside. So they got a really good player there in Mac Hollins in the fourth round. For my Will C pick, you know, I mean, Ross, this isn't a question. We did this last year. I'm not going to say anything bad about my team because I love my job. And then undrafted free agent. They had a couple undrafted gems that I really like. I like Corey Clement from Wisconsin in that realm. I thought that he was a day three selection. So getting him undrafted, I think, was good value. But I really like the center from West Virginia, Tyler Orlowski. I was very surprised that he was not drafted in this draft, because he was a guy that I thought had the ability to move people in the run game. He's a longtime starter. He's smart. He's a good pass protector. I thought that he had starting traits. So to get him in undrafted free agency, I thought, was a pretty big pull for the Eagles. And what's already a really deep and competitive offensive line group, I'm excited to see how he fares this summer in that competition.
Yeah, what did you think of Corey Clement?
You know, I liked Clement and I've watched him now for like 3 years or so, because he was there when Melvin Gordon was there at Wisconsin. He was kind of banged up in 2015. So coming back this year, I thought, you know what, I'm really excited kind of to see him perform in that offense. He wasn't a full-time starter throughout his career. He wasn't fully healthy even, like I said, in 2015. But he's got some burst for a bigger back. He's got some athletic ability for a bigger back. Really, the big question for me has always been his durability. I didn't think that he was the most instinctive runner, and that's probably why he went undrafted in this draft. But you're talking about a big kid with some physicality. He didn't really fumble all that much from the games that I had watched throughout his career, so he took care of the football. I like a guy that's got physicality and has a little bit of burst to him. There's an explosive element to his game. He can get to top speed pretty quickly. He ran both zone and gap schemes there. I think that Clement is a really, really intriguing player.
I love it. This is one of my favorite series that we do, because I like kind of getting a feel for what you thought of every team's draft, the Will C guys, the top picks, the sleepers, and, of course, the undrafted gems. We will continue next week, so we will get to the north or the south or the west. I know we can talk about that, Fran, but we want you to make sure that you're listening every week, especially when your team's on. And if you get the chance, go to saxunderwear.com/Tucker, saxxunderwear.com/Tucker. Use the code Tucker at checkout. Trust me, especially this time of year when it's getting hot, this underwear is awesome. You've heard me talk about it on the Ross Tucker Football Podcast. Now I'm telling you about it for those of you that listen to the College Draft Podcast, just buy one pair. Trust me, JacksUnderwear.com/Tucker. He is Fran. I am Ross. That was an awesome College Draft Podcast. We will be back next week with the exact same format, just two different divisions as we go in-depth looking back at the 2017 NFL Draft. Right now, though, the keg is kicked. We are all tapped out.
Thanks for enjoying your Frosty One while listening to the College Draft.
Chugga, 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 chugga.
Make sure you're also subscribing to the Ross Tucker Football Podcast, Fantasy Feast, and Even Money Podcasts, all available on iTunes at rostucker.com or wherever podcasts can be found.